The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you have joined us today for the study of God's Word. We are this community of Jesus' apprentices, trying to live according to Jesus' example, loving like He loved, serving like He served. And I tell you, it has been a blessing to be with you. And as you know, the apprentices of Jesus, they have a motto, at least the apprentices of this community, the Rescue Worker community. And the motto for our community is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. On that way, we want to live like Jesus and be like Him, based on love. Well, I'm glad that you are with us, and we are on this journey of exploring Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And today, we'll be studying from Luke chapter 5, verse 27 to 31. And here, what we see is Jesus calling Matthew, or Levi. So it'll be a great moment in study. So what about we take one minute for us to prepare ourselves for this study. Today our memory verse comes from this study, the verses that we'll be doing today. Today, we'll see what means to follow Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? So, it is important for us to understand, be prepared for that. So, I want to invite you to take a moment right now to prepare yourself to hear God's voice. To prepare ourselves to position ourselves to be impressed by the Holy Spirit, to follow Jesus. So take this 1 minute to pray, to surrender, and to be in God's presence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for being with us, for listening to our prayer, and to visiting us. Lord, I pray that everyone that is listening to my voice receive a special blessing. Forgive our sins and be with us. Lord, speak to us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, where we are, we're studying Jesus' public ministry. Luke is trying to convey the idea of who is Jesus. building up every moment to his readers that probably were people that are not aware who were Jesus, or first believers, or starting their journey, their journey with Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I'm okay, and then something happens. But okay, let's get there. So Luke is trying to build that concept of who is Jesus. Jesus is the great teacher, the great preacher. He has authority over the demons, the diseases, the nature. He has authority over the laws of Moses. And yesterday we saw that he has authority over the laws of God, and he's able to provide forgiveness. Jesus is God. And the way that Jesus is trying to implement God's kingdom here is described and presented by the way that Jesus invited Peter, Simon, and other fishermen to follow him. And today we'll continue this idea of Jesus inviting people to follow him. And that is so important, because what we see here, and I think it's a great lesson for me, it has been a great lesson for me, is the methodology that Jesus decided to adopt in order to implement the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is supposed to be implemented by people. We are supposed to invest in people's life, walk with them, do life with them, show what it means to be a follower of Christ, an apprentice of Jesus, what it means to live according to the principles and values of the kingdom. And as we expose people to that lifestyle, the lifestyle of Jesus' apprentice that is based on love, invite people to be part of the same lifestyle. Jesus, that is the main way that Jesus decides to advance and promote the kingdom of God. Yes, we can use the internet. Yes, we can use media. Yes, we can use books. Yes, we can hire people to do the work. But the main point, the way that we cannot forget, is the way that Jesus implemented, transferring, doing life together. As we do life together, walk with people, showing the values of the kingdom, and help them. That is crucial for us to grasp. And what we see here is Jesus doing that. So, verse 27 and 28, and here is our memory verse. And let's read our memory verse together. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Luke 5. 27 and 28. Powerful. Let me try to bring to your attention a few points. We have mentioned already about what is a tax collector, but I think for the sake of our study today, is good to have a quick review. Tax collectors in generally were Jews working for Rome. Okay, so Rome would impose tax upon the nations and the people that they had control over. So tax based on their profit, tax based on people, how many people are leaving, how they leave. So what would not be the best way to know how much each person, each family is supposed to pay, based on someone that they know, that family, they know the business? right? They know how the farming went, how the fishing went, how things are going. So the Romans, being wise in a sense, they would hire someone from the people that could relate to the people and say, yeah, you own such amount to Rome. No. Yeah, you had a good fishing today. So yeah, you need to pay for that. So there's no trick. There's no way to escape. So the tax collector was someone from them because knew them. So can you imagine how people, the Jewish people, relate to this tax collectors, the people that work for Rome, right? Like, how dare you to work for the enemy? How dare you to work for the oppressor? Like, how dare you to tell them what we're supposed to pay? And like, they couldn't handle that. So just for that, tax collectors were not welcome. But also, the tax collectors, they had a reputation to require more tax than people should pay. They would overcharge them, and basically they would try to keep part of the money for themselves. So corruption was something very usual among the tax collectors. They would send to Rome their part, but they would stay with some part for them. So for that, they are abusers also, like the Romans, to the community. So the people hate the tax collectors. They hate them because they work for Rome. They hate them because they abuse them, grabbing their money, using the power authority of Rome for them, for their own sake. So the tax collectors were not welcome. And then when you look to a religious perspective of the tax collector, they are work from Rome, so hang out with Gentiles, not have the principles of God, not living according to the Torah. So for the religious people, the tax collector are the worst Jews, right? It's better for a Gentile that doesn't know, so they cannot live, than a tax collector that knows what are supposed to be right and not live according to that reality. So tax collectors for the Jewish community and for the religious people is a no-no. So they are despised. But what is Jesus' mission? Well, to come after those that are despised. Remember that the definition of poor in the Gospel of Luke goes beyond the idea of social economic. Is the concept of poor in the Gospel of Luke is anyone that is not favorable or is not in favor of the community or in the idea of them in God's eyes. Someone that is not on their potential. So yes, if someone doesn't have all the social economic means, is a poor. But someone that is not a man, because in that time, right, there's this understanding, this poor understanding of God's creation and the likeness of God, and giving people second levels because of gender, because of race, because of many aspects, right? So those that are not Jewish and men, they are considered a second class, right? If someone comes from a family that does not have a renowned family, second class. Depend of the job, second class, right? If you behave in a certain way, second class. If you think a certain way, second class. So everyone that is a second class on their opinion is considered poor. And what was Jesus' mission? Well, we need to keep reading this Bible verse, Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come, the grace has come. So when Jesus sees a tax collector, someone that is hated, someone that is despised by people, he goes after that person. He goes after him because he needs the good news. He needs grace. He needs to be set free. But can you imagine how people saw that? So, Jesus, seeing Levi, Matthew, and probably people were aware of Matthew at the time of Luke, right? Matthew wrote a gospel. Levi wrote a gospel. Later, right, as Jesus left the town, he saw tax collectors named Levi sitting in his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. Hey, I love you. Follow me. And it is interesting because this concept and this phrase, follow me, be my disciple, it was kind of an acceptance letter of a rabbi at Jesus' time. If you remember, some time ago, looking in some episodes back there, I explained to you about the three levels of education on Judaism at the time of Jesus, right? And you can visit the archive, I think was the episode on Luke 3, verse 23, okay? So you can go to our archives at rescueworker.com, on our YouTube, or YouTube, Facebook, or even podcast, and listen and watch that episode, right? Where I explain the three levels of the Jewish educational system. The first level would focus in the study of the Torah. The second level, the study of the other books of the Bible. And the third level, the study to become a rabbi. On the first level, people do a test to go to the second level. Not everybody would go, but some would go. From the second level, just a few would be invited to be part of the third level that would start between 16, 17 years old and go up to 30 years old. And the main goal was to study the life of Rabbi, their teaching, and how he takes the concept of the Hebrew Bible, the Torah, and the other writings and apply in a daily life. And for a rabbi to invite someone to be part of his life and his study, he would use the phrase, follow me and be my disciple. So when Levi heard that, he had a context. Levi knew and had heard about Jesus. He's probably in Capernaum. He's probably a tax collector in Capernaum. Jesus had made his headquarters in Capernaum. He had heard about the miracles, maybe has seen some miracles. He had heard about some of Jesus' preaching and teaching, probably he heard some. Right, but he looked at himself, say, no, I'm not worthy. He will not accept me. I work for the Romans. I'm despised by the society. The religious people, like, they hate me. But Jesus invites him to do life together with him, and that way be transformed in a journey. You see, Jesus does not expect you to change your life for you to do life with him. Jesus comes to you where you are, and he wants you to do the transformation as you do life together with him. And sometimes we get everything wrong. We think, I need to change. I need to stop doing this in order to come to Jesus, in order to do life with Jesus. Hey, The true transformation is a process that you cannot be responsible for, that you cannot do for yourself. It's only Jesus. So you need to accept Jesus, and only through Jesus, this acceptance can, this this transformation can take place. It's Jesus that does the transformation. So Jesus goes to Levi, and he didn't say, hey, if you do this, if you stop doing this, if you stop being a tax collector, and if you, then you'll be my disciple. No, Jesus just accepted. Right? And I wanna make sure that we understand the call of Levi here. Because some people, I think sometimes they get this understanding of doing life together with Jesus in a wrong way. Levi, he had a unique call. A call to be close to Jesus. In a sense that he would be one that would invest his life in other people's life, okay? On other people's life. So Levi had a specific call. That is not the call for everyone. And some people, they try to apply this call of Levi for everyone in a sense, well, if you accept Jesus, you need to stop doing what you're doing and come to this monastic life, right? And live in a group, a close group. And even there's some professions that we say, yeah, that profession you need to leave behind. You cannot be there, right? And be a Christian. No, for to be a true follower of Christ, you need to stop doing that and find something else for your life, because you cannot be a Christian having that profession for your life. But even the most discussed profession at the time of Jesus, right? Job, the most disgusting job, that is not the idea of the kingdom. Pay attention here, because we have studied that in Luke chapter 3, at the preaching of John the Baptist, that is preaching the coming of the kingdom and the coming of the Messiah, some tax collector came to him. And let me find here, verse 12. So Luke 3, verse 12. Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, teacher, what should we do? Hey, I'm a corrupt tax collector. I'm working for Rome. So what am I supposed to do? Usually, the leaders today, or the religious leaders today in churches and church people would say, oh, stop being a tax collector. Find another thing for you to do and follow Jesus. But pay attention what John said here. He replied, collect no more taxes than the government requires. John the Baptist is saying, stay where you are. Don't live the life. Don't live your profession. But where you are, start living the kingdom and the values of the kingdom. So you see, the call to accept Jesus is not a call to leave the life that you have and start over in a monastic mindset or environment. The call that Jesus has for you is for you, where you are, to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, living the values of the kingdom. To invest in people where you are, showing how apprentice of Jesus deal with problems in life, deal with business, how they do life based on the values and principles of the life. So that's a totally different approach. So the goal is not to extract someone from where they are, but encourage someone where they are to be an apprentice of Jesus. And that's what happens here. Levi was supposed, yes, to follow Jesus, but start where he was. Later, Levi, verse 29, held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Right? You see, some people that thought that he left everything. Well, how can he afford a banquet, right? Is even this understanding, right? He left the way of his life. He left the wrong form of life and followed Jesus. So later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus at the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. Wow. So what we see here is Levi calling those that he hang out, probably other tax collectors, because they were not accepted as well on their community. So they had their community, the community tax collectors, of those that don't find a place for themselves in the society, to have a banquet with Jesus. And here we have a major problem for their culture. You see, when I eat with someone on that culture, means I accept you, I value you. And the Jewish people, the religious Jewish people, will not eat with them because I cannot accept your way of life. I cannot accept how you think. I don't accept your behavior. So how can I eat with you? No, I'm not eating with you. So to show that they didn't agree with the way and their thoughts, they would not eat with them. Because eating with someone is saying, I accept you, I value you. And for the Jewish religious leaders, they would not do that. Say, no, I cannot eat with you. Let me show that you are wrong. And as you understand that you are wrong and you're not valued by me, I hope you change your life. So their way to encourage people to change their life, it was not accepting them and disguising them and saying, no. But what Jesus does here, he accepts them. He ate with them. And why? Because everyone is a child of God. Every person, no matter what they think, no matter how they behave, they are a child of God. And because saw those child, Jesus said, I love you and I want to eat with you because I accept you. The acceptance and the love of Jesus doesn't mean that Jesus agree with the way they think or the way they behave. But it means that Jesus loved them because they are a child of God. How would you treat people if you saw everyone, even those that you don't agree with, their way of thought or belief and their way of behavior as child of God? How would you treat people? What I can tell you is, when someone is kind to my kids, they are being kind to me. And somehow, when someone is mean to my kids, they are mean to me. They are being mean to me. In the same way, we need to understand when we are kind to other people, being kind to God. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 25, right? When you feed someone, you're feeding me. When you clothe someone, you're clothing me. When you're visiting someone, you're visiting me because they are my child. But when you reject them, you're rejecting me. Jesus treat them because they were a child of God. But who were upset with them? Well, verse 30. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Why? You should be no better. Like, you need to hang out with the good people, not with the bad people. There is a saying in Portuguese that the translation would be, show me who are you hanging out with? And I tell you who you are. And the main idea is, yeah, if you show the people that you're spending time, that means you agree with their values, so that means who you are. But that's not the principle and value of the kingdom. The kingdom is different. I value people because they're a child of God. And I'll love them and eat with them, accept them because they're a child of God. And through the love of God, and through me represent the values of the kingdom, I pray that they will be influenced and impact. But the religious people, no. If someone converts, he'll be taken away and he'll live this monastic life, a holy life, and will not hang out with the ones that are sinners. No. Jesus is wrong. And it's interesting how Jesus answered. Jesus answered with an image. Jesus answered them, verse 31. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Jesus didn't deny that the group that he was hanging out were not sinners. Yeah, he didn't deny them that. Yeah, they're sinners. They're sinners. But imagine, I'm a doctor. I'm a physician, Jesus is saying. And I have the sick, those that are sick, and those that are good. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is not the physician convention where the good ones and then can heal other people, get together. No. The kingdom is going after those that need love and care. And if you don't grasp that, you don't grasp the kingdom, Jesus is saying. So Jesus is not denying that they don't have the right belief, that they don't have the right behavior. But he's saying that his mission is to hang out with them, to love them, and show God's grace to them. Remember, what is the mission of Jesus? And proclaim that the oppressed will be set free and that the time of the Lord's favor has come, the time of grace, the new age of grace. People need to experience the table of grace, so they can be invited to live this table of grace. What a different approach of Jesus. Totally different from the religious understanding of Jesus. And I can tell you that the kingdom approach is totally different from what we see and understand as church today. How the church would look like if we would follow the kingdom model. If we would follow Jesus' example. I don't know about you, but my commitment is with Jesus, his kingdom and his way. Levi had to live his way, deny his thoughts, deny his lifestyle, his understanding to follow Jesus. And I tell you, when you and I must do the same. Leave behind our ways and understandings based on a religious life and think and focus on the kingdom way. The kingdom that was presented by Jesus and by others like John and the apostles. A kingdom that doesn't want to take you from your life and put you in a monastic, protected life. But a kingdom that wanna ask you to be faithful where you are, living the values of the kingdom. How are you living your life? What I can tell, most of my time, because of my duties, I'm hanging out with not the people I should hang out. I spend more time with the doctors than the sick ones. Those that think they are good than those that they understand their need of God. May God bless me. May God bless you as we make decisions for our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you so much for your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to live according to the kingdom's way. Help us, Lord, to be where we are and be a kingdom representation, an apprentice of Jesus. Be there to present the values and the principles of the kingdom. Forgive our sins and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go for our questions of reflection. And the questions are, what is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you abundantly. May God be with you. And may God help us to understand the kingdom of God and live according to the values and principles of God's kingdom. We'll continue tomorrow more of the discussion based on what happened with Jesus' style and the meal that Levi put for Jesus and all that. And I pray that God will open your eyes like He's opening my eyes. That God will speak to your heart like speaking to my heart. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.